Let's get to our guest now, Nanette Heschler-Ferreira is CIO for EMEA and Global Head of Economics and Research at Credit Suisse. She joins us on the line from Singapore today. We're looking very closely at all of these concerns about a global recession, how deep it could be. We also heard from more Fed officials saying they need to keep hiking rates to restore price stability. Do you kind of agree with one of those speakers, James Bullard, who warned that the Fed's credibility could be on the line here?
I think generally the central banks are currently really fighting for their credibility, Juliet. So far the Fed has done an okay job, because if you look at the break-even 10-year inflation as a good reflection of long-term inflation expectations, they have been trending down from their previous highs this year. So I would say so far the Fed is on good course, but it is absolutely a fight for credibility against inflation.
How concerning is it that we could see a global recession, particularly when you look at what's happening in Europe and the gas, crisis that is occurring there? We saw that big 22% jump in futures overnight.
In Europe and also in the UK, we think the recession is now to be expected. For 2023, where this is likely to also show in the overall annual growth rate, we do anticipate minus 0.2% in our forecast of Credit Suisse for the Eurozone, and for the UK, it might be also in the similar magnitude. It might also become even deeper than that if conditions in Europe and the UK continue to deteriorate. In the US, the risk of recession is a bit lower. However, probability of recession is at 30% according to our models, and that is still material.
What buffers that potential downturn in the US? Is it still the very strong jobs market? Is it the fact that households still have quite a lot to spend?
There are really two things that are shielding the U.S. at the moment. One is that this is a large economy that essentially depends on its private consumption. I mean, the U.S. private consumption contributes the majority of growth. So for as long as the U.S. labor market is resilient, then also the consumers are likely to carry some of these overall growth resilience. That's one. Secondly, as far as the housing market is concerned, most households do have long-term mortgages. So it takes some time before the increase of yields is actually feeding through to their expenses. So that's a second factor, the fact that they have a lot of fixed mortgages and that it takes time to feed through is a second shielding effect. And then thirdly, they're not so exposed to the energy crisis and the direct implications of the war in the Ukraine as countries in Europe are.
And Asia buffeted from that too. Let's talk about the China picture, because we're closely awaiting the Party Congress. We have seen President Xi reemerge after not being seen in public since his first foreign trip in more than 2 years earlier this month. Do we see a turnaround or a letting go of some of those very strict COVID zero policies? And if so, how does that help the growth story?
I think that indeed after the Party Congress, we might be expecting some gradual relaxing here of the non-zero COVID policy, and especially because also the focus now is turning back from the global health situation to actually the economic growth situation. We see that also from the comments around international trade and how the global economic slowdown is affecting negatively Chinese economic growth. So there is hope that we are going to see gradually what Hong Kong is now also going through be extended to the regions in China as well. What we do expect is that this will feed into a higher growth rate next year for China than this year.
Okay, and let's get now to your bank's global wealth report, because you do see China as among the most countries, among countries that will add the most millionaires. And you're saying the world in general is going to get more millionaires after the wealth loss that we've seen in 2022. Just tell us about some of the findings from the Credit Suisse Global Wealth Report.
Yeah, I mean, wealth has been on this trajectory of growth that was really among the most impressive in 2021. It's probably been the year where we have seen the highest growth rates, even accounting for exchange rate fluctuations and so forth. Really very strong growth, more than 9% over the year compared to an average of 6% in the previous decade. China, as much as the U.S., have been driving those, and a lot of the wealth increases have come from how strong financial assets have been, with all the support that monetary policy, fiscal policy, and so forth have given throughout the pandemic. As global wealth is increasing, so is the number of millionaires, and so there is really a parallel here to expect. We think that 2022 might be showing a bit of a slower growth of wealth because of the inflation effect. One thing is to see nominal wealth grow, but the other is to really have an increase of real wealth. So there's also going to be a little bit of artificial growth here coming through the effect of inflation. But over a five-year period, we think that the world continues to move in a very positive trajectory where the average wealth per adult in the world is likely to first time ever reach the $100,000 mark. And that is really a very meaningful level.
At the top end, though, is wealth being distributed evenly? What countries are seeing the greatest, I guess, increases in wealth?
So the distribution of wealth is unequal across countries as well as within a number of countries. We can measure that, for example, with the help of statistics like the Gini coefficient that is quite well known. But the good news is that over the last 10 years, in fact, this inequality of distribution across countries for sure has been on the declining trend. And the reason for that was the catch-up of emerging markets and China in particular. So this is the good news, because also going forward, emerging markets will continue to catch up and make up most of the wealth increases, bringing up the median wealth per adult.
All right, Nanette, great to chat. We didn't get to talk about another report that you've edited, which is one I read on the Bloomberg Terminal the other day, and I loved How to Invest in Handbags, the Luxury Most Likely to Hold Value. So listeners can find that on the Bloomberg Terminal, the report showing that Chanel bags in particular rose almost 25% in value from the previous year. Nanette Heschler-Feyde-Eber is CIO for EMEA and Global Head for Economics and Research at Credit Suisse with us here in Singapore on Daybreak Asia.